Hey, I'm Shannon Curtis, and I'm so happy to be back on the Jazz Spotlight podcast.
Episode 85.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Today is a special episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast because we're joined by the very first returning guest. And the episode with Shannon Curtis has been one of the most popular. We talked about house concerts, and she's back to tell us more about how you can use house concerts to build a community. You find the show notes with the links to everything Shannon and I talk about at thejazzspotlight.com/episode85. All right, let's hear it. Here is Build Community Through House Concerts with Shannon Curtis. Hey everybody, as you've heard from the intro, we have a good friend of the show coming back, and I'm so excited. And we had her here in episode 55 where we talked about house concerts, and that has been one of the most popular episodes of the season one of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. So we have been in touch, and we actually realized that there were some aspects of house concerts that we really didn't touch on because we were short on time, and she's back, and I'm so excited. She's a dream pop artist, and she's also an author. She's the author of the book No Booker, No Bouncer, No Bartender: How I Made $25,000 on a 2-month House Concert Tour and How You Can Too. And she's here. I'm so excited to welcome back on the show my pop sister from the States, Shannon Curtis. Hey, Shannon, how's it going?
Hi. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I had to call you my pop sister because you had rocked the first time you were here, and we had such a good connection, and we've been in touch, and I'm happy that you're back.
I'm so happy to be back.
Awesome. And, you know, Shannon, we shouldn't forget about the new listeners, because there are people that maybe are tuning in for the first time and they're maybe intrigued by the title, and they are wondering who you are. And I shared a few things about you in our intro. I mentioned your book, but can you kind of refresh the memory also of those who are here with us and tell us what you're famous for, and, you know, the house concerts tour you had and you've written about?
Famous is a negotiable term, but
yeah. Now you are.
So yeah, I live in Los Angeles, California. I play dream pop music. It's keyboard based, dreamy down tempo, mostly pop music. Mm-hmm. And about 2011, I accidentally stumbled into doing my first house concert. And it opened the door to me to exploring how to do those more and more effectively. And over the course of the next like year or so, we worked at developing the model, and we did our first full tour of just house concerts in the summer of 2012. Mm-hmm. And I should say that these house concerts are not hosted by, like, in put in air quotes, people who host house concerts. You know, right. These are not like people who host regular events in their home with touring artists. These are people who are part of my community, people who support my music, that I partner with to put on these events in their living rooms, their backyards, their garages, wherever they have a space to gather. And it was a tremendously successful year, that 2012 tour. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've been developing the model. It's been growing for us every single year. The book title that you mentioned was from the stats that we had at the end of our 2013 summer house concert tour. And if I wrote the book today, I'd have to change that number that we made on the top, on the front of the book, because we've grown so much since then. And actually we did an update to the book this last year that came out in March of 2015 as well. So we continue to learn, we continue to grow the model, and we continue to share that information with other artists, because I really believe that this is a super powerful way for independent artists to grow their own careers on their own terms.
And I remember when you joined us, you told us about the upcoming launch of the forum. So now the forum has been launched for already quite some time on your website, shannoncurtis.net. So what can people get from the forum about house concerts?
The forum has been so cool. It's been open now since, I think, December of 2014. And mm-hmm. we just have a growing, ever-growing community of artists of all different stripes. I mean, from pop singers to, you know, rock to jazz to Celtic to instrumental to, I mean, like all different kinds of people who see the potential in this model for growing their music careers. And so we've got this conversation going. There are multiple threads about every aspect of executing a house concert, from finding the hosts to how to organize the space, to advancing the show with your hosts, to what kind of pacing to do in your set when you're there, like what works mm-hmm. for that kind of a setting. So all these different topics, it's a really rich conversation. What I love about it is that it's not just my ideas. I mean, wrote the book based on the ideas that we've, you know, worked out for us. But the forum is really cool because other people are bringing new ideas to the table and sharing them with others. And it's a really neat just community of artists working together to empower one another.
Awesome. And obviously, the first time you were here in episode 55, you also shared some good tips on house concerts. So I remember at the top of my head, we talked about, you know, how to find the hosts, how to get the people engaged. You share some tips also for the merch table. And as I said, it's been one of the most popular episodes. And I know that Shannon, you've also seen people retweeting it, thanking you on Twitter at Shannon Curtis. Mm. So that's, you know, those are all good signs. And I want to ask you, today we talk about house concerts again, but this time we talk about how to build a community with house concerts. And you have successfully done that. And I want to ask you, maybe there's someone who is listening to you and I that they are thinking about house concerts. So how can they build toward and also book a tour of house concert?
Yeah, so the word that you mentioned there in the lead up to that question that's the most important is community. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mentioned that we released a new update to the book this last year, and I actually went through the first version of the book and removed every instance of the word fan mm-hmm. and replaced it with community or with supporters. And the reason that I think this is so important is this. It's something that I've been learning over the last few years of doing this. First of all, I was never quite comfortable with the idea of having fans,
right.
You know, it just seemed like this really artificial relationship where there's
vertical.
These people down there adoring me. I mean, like, that's just like weird, first of all. And secondly, you know, it's just not the kind of relationship I want to have with other human beings. And so I started to realize that I didn't have to use that word. And that really what I was experiencing as we were watching my career grow via house concerts is that what we felt like we were doing was expanding my community. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, like when you're in a community of people, everybody brings something of value to the table, right? Mm-hmm. And in my case, you know, when I'm going into somebody's home and bringing them this experience in their home, it's something valuable. It's something that brings their community of friends and neighbors together. It's something that, you know, takes people by surprise and gives them an experience that they just weren't planning on, you know, on having mm-hmm. in their friend's living room that night. And hopefully the music moves them in some way. You know, so there's real value to what I bring to the table. But then as we do these shows by donations, you know, then this is an opportunity for people to give back, to continue this thing that we're doing, you know? So mm-hmm. it's more of an exchange than a transaction, if that makes sense. And I think that really getting that idea down is a super important first step to your trajectory in building your fan base, your community via house concerts. It's just a total like mind shift. And so I think that's why I wanted to kind of like hone in on that at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's also, once you kind of understand that and get that I think that just that sort of paradigm alone helps to build toward gathering or attracting more hosts to host you and building the story. So, you know, you asked about how does one build toward, you know, getting hosts and booking a tour. You know, for me at the beginning, it was slow. It was, I had this idea. I had done a couple of these house concerts and I knew how awesome they were. I knew how connective and intimate and, you know, what a great experience it was for everybody involved. But translating that to, you know, other people and sort of selling them on the idea that they want to do this with me too, you know, that was a little bit of a hurdle at first. And this is something that we're discovering within the community forum on my website as well. Other artists are like, so how do we, you know, get more hosts and how do we, you know, build the story? It's something that a lot of artists are working at. And I think my number one piece of advice for those of you getting started is to think about it like you're building the story. You've got to paint the picture at first. You've got to describe why this is such a great thing. You've got to describe why it's such a, you know, give them you know, all the possible visuals that you can, both with your words and with actual photos and videos and things like that, you know, to describe what the event is. And over time, as people start seeing your presence on social media and as you're sending out your newsletters and you're talking about these shows that you're doing and you're showing photos and videos of them, you're building the story. And I think that people really want to become part of stories, you know? And so they start seeing what you're doing and thinking, oh, okay, I could do that. That looks really fun. And, you know, I've had some hosts, you know, volunteer this summer for our tour that we're currently on, who've been sort of quietly watching in the background for the last couple of years as we've been building this, and finally understood, oh, I get what she's doing. I can totally do that, you know? And so it's more about attraction than selling at that point, right? Because you're building the story. You're building the story around your growing community. It's very relationship-based, and people want to be a part of that, and you will see that growing over time.
I love it. So you mentioned about, you know, storytelling, making people part of your story, and you talked about social media, you talked about visual, email communication. So to try to share the, first of all, to paint the picture and share your story in every possible way. And I have to ask you, Shannon, because I'm curious, and maybe some people are also wondering. I know that you do a few tours throughout the year. For example, now for the summer, you just wrapped one up and you're about to go on another one. So do you engage on this kind of, you know, creating the picture and sharing your message every time whenever you have a tour? So maybe you change it a bit depending on where you're heading, or it's pretty much you have a general message regardless of, you know, where you are heading.
Right. So I actually think of my touring schedule as being one big chunk during the summer. And so we did just finish a stretch, the first leg of the tour, you might say, in the Northwest of the United States. And we did our first like 25 shows, you know, in the Western part of the United States. We've been home for a couple of days right now, but we're leaving tomorrow for the for the remainder of the tour, which will be close to 70 shows when it's all said and done. Wow. So it's a very large tour. But I do think of it as one big chunk. And I think that that's, it's helpful for people to know that they're part of, like, if they're a host on this tour, they're like, wow, I'm one of 70 houses she's going to this year. And that's exciting, you know? Right. It was exciting when it was one of 35 houses too. So it's not like it has to be this big impressive number, but you know, just being part of a larger something is something that we all kind of crave. And I think our hosts enjoy that. But when I talk about my building a story on social media and that kind of thing, when I'm leading up to the tour, when I'm getting ready, when I'm first of all soliciting my hosts for our summer house concert tour, I'm on social media multiple times a day, posting pictures of previous tours. Here's what it looks like. You want to do this in your house? You know, like talking about it from all the possible different angles. Hey, here's a story that happened on our house concert tour last year. Let me tell you about it. Want to do it at your house this year? You know, building sort of the excitement around it when I'm booking the tour. And then when I'm scheduling it, I'm, you know, I'm putting things out on social media like, oh, hey, look at these cities we're going to hit so far. We're going to these, you know, 23 cities so far. Do you want your city to be on the map? Give me a call, you know, like those kinds of things. Right. And then when we're actually on the tour, I honestly think that's the biggest thing that I do to sell, quote unquote, sell, to attract people to the next year's tour is when we're on our current tour. Because every single day I'm on social media, I'm posting photos every day of every single one of the shows, whether it be, you know, the the setup before the show, or maybe a picture with the host afterward, or if somebody's gotten a good shot of me playing during the show, then I, you know, borrow that and post that to social media. But I'm always talking about every single show. So everybody gets a shout out, and every day people who are looky-loos can look on and say, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, it's persistent, you know, because I've got a lot of shows this summer. So they're getting a really clear message over a long period of time that helps them decide whether they want to be part of it for the next time around.
That's great, Shannon. And, you know, I'm sure that there is someone listening to you and I that maybe think that they would like to follow your footsteps, but they think that they don't have the time to be on social media multiple times per day and this and that. Well, nowadays it's pretty easy to be on social media. There are tools that help you save time, maximize the time you spend there. And Shannon, I wanted to ask you, do you know about a free tool called If This Then That?
I don't. Tell me more.
Oh, okay. This is gonna be very, very useful for you and for everybody who's organizing a festival, hosting a concert, a house concert. So basically, If This Then That, it's a free web-based tool. They have also the app now. And how it works is that it works on automation. So when you told me about, you know, you have maybe you share pictures of someone, like pictures of you that someone has taken during a concert, I thought of that. So let's say you are very active on Instagram or on Twitter at Shannon Curtis, whatever the platform may be. So with If This Then That, you can create what is called a recipe. The recipe is based on the concept if A happens, then B. So what you could do is you could create a recipe that says when someone shares a picture on Instagram using the hashtag, I don't know, Shannon Curtis Tour, tweet a picture of that on my Twitter account at Shannon Curtis. And that can be a great way, especially if you have, you know, many people taking pictures, especially now if I think about a festival and you don't maybe have the time or the personnel that can monitor of that, all those things, but still you would like to get the people involved. You can easily set that up. It takes like literally 30 seconds. And whenever someone shares a picture on Instagram using a specific hashtag, it's going to be shared on your Instagram or on your Twitter. So it's just something I wanted to share with you, Shannon, and with everybody who's joined us, because it's free, it's easy to implement, and can really make your life easier and can really help build community. Because, you know, if I see that Shannon Curtis has shared my picture, I'm like, I'm thrilled, right?
Yeah, that's a great tool. I've never heard of that. Very cool.
Awesome. I'm like always, guys, I'm gonna link to everything, Shannon's website, the book, the tools, everything else we have covered in the show notes. And so we've been talking about community, and you talked about a little bit how you know, how you and someone who want to follow your footstep can build toward a host concert tour. And we talked about community, we talked about, you know, getting the hosts involved, getting people as part of our story. And some people you meet during a house concert tour are actually new fans, are new listeners, people who are just finding out about you. So Shannon, I wanted to ask you if you have some tips on how to build relationships with, let's call them first time listeners, maybe during house concerts.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, be a good human being. that's the first rule, you know? I mean, if you are the kind of artist who, you know, prefers to hang out backstage and make your grand entrance and then sneak away at the end of the night, then I'm not entirely certain that house concerts are going to work very well for you, because they are very relationship based, you know? And so I think that in terms of winning over a first time listener at a house concert, it starts before you even sit down to play. In my model that we describe in the book, we always have guests arrive at the event 1 hour before the concert begins. And the reason for that is there's a couple reasons. One, if people are stragglers and they walk in late, they've got a nice big buffer to get there on time so they don't disrupt the concert when they arrive. Secondly, it gives people time to kind of get loose in the space, get comfortable, have a drink or two, you know, and just feel comfortable in the space. But as in terms of starting to build that relationship with your new listeners, that time is essential. During that time of the event, I am out and about walking around the crowd as they're coming, as people are showing up. I'm sometimes the first one to greet them. Hey, what's your name? I'm Shannon. Oh, you're the one playing for us today. Yeah, great to meet you. Right. You know, and getting to know them, asking about their summer vacation plans, what they do for a living, where they're from, where they were born and raised, if they've got kids, if they, you know, like just having conversations like you do with new acquaintances at any social mm-hmm. gathering. Because by the time you take the stage, then you have like a room full of friends. You know, they're not strangers right. anymore. You don't have to win them over solely with your performance. They're already kind of rooting for you because you've been engaging with them and talking with them about their lives before you've, you know, hit the stage. And so it makes your job a whole lot easier. I also talk extensively during my show about why every single person who is enjoying what I'm doing ought to sign my email list at the end of the night. I have a
spiel. So what would you be saying? Sorry to interrupt you, no. Shannon. What would you be saying, for example?
Exactly. I can tell you exactly what I say every single night. I say, and I go through and I talk about all the things on my merchandise table, all the things that are available for them to buy afterwards. And then I follow that up with saying the most important thing that I'm going to have over there, it's going to be on a little iPad display where you can tap in your email address to join my email list. And the most important, the reason I say that this is the most important thing on that table is that I've discovered over summer after summer doing these house concert tours, night after night, it's groups of people like you that continue to reaffirm for me that I want to be about doing my life and my art in community with people. And so you letting me stay in touch with you is a great way to begin to join my community. And I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Because I think mm-hmm. people need to understand, like you have to educate them. They're not artists. They don't understand, mm-hmm. you know, why it's so important for us to have that growing email list. Right. We know that it's like water to us, you know, but I think you have to take a moment to educate people, explain why it's so important. And then when they do visit the merch table later, you can give them the quick reminder, hey, have you signed the email list yet? They already know why it's important to you and chances are pretty good they're gonna do it. I get so many email signups every single night. Way more than I ever did in doing club shows, that's for sure.
And I think, sorry, Shannon, to cut you off, but I think that also the reason why it works so well is that if you start to talk about that while you're on stage, you really have everybody's attention. Whereas when you're at the merch table, if there is a queue, maybe people are chatting, someone is having a drink, so not everybody is going to hear you talking about the newsletter. So I think it's a great tip to talk about. You mentioned, you talk about that, you describe the merch table, you talk about the reason why people should sign up for your newsletter. And by the way, guys, if you're wondering about the setting of the merch table and all those kind of things, you should definitely check out, after you finish with this, go to thejazzspotlight.com/episode55, where you find the other interview with Shannon, where she touched more on the setting of the merch table and all those kind of aspects that we're not gonna go and repeat again here. Mm. But Shannon, I think that was great. So you mentioned that on stage.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if an artist is not mentioning their merch and their email list from stage, I think you're missing a huge opportunity. That's when you have everybody's captive attention, and that's really what you need from this experience. Not only, you know, will they be donating to the experience for the house concert, but like you really like every night merch sales. Well, it depends on the night, but like on our tour last summer, I want to say that our merch sales were it was. Slightly off from just 50-50, but like it was about 50% donations and 50% merch sales as our mm-hmm. made up our entire income each night. So it's an essential piece. And if you're not talking about it, you're going to miss out on opportunities to sell people stuff. But also going forward, you know, those names on your email list, I know that you've probably talked about this in other versions of or episodes of your podcast. It's that, you know, social media will come and go. Facebook seems like it's here forever and ever, but we thought that about MySpace too, you know,
right.
But your email list is yours and you can communicate on your own terms with your email list. And that's really the most important piece. And so making sure people understand that is super, super important.
Amen to that, Shannon. No, you're right. We mentioned the importance of email list before on the podcast. And guys, in case you're listening to Shannon and I and you don't have an email list yet, I'm going to link to the episode with Ariel Hyatt where we talked about everything you need to know to get started and to launch and run a successful email list as an artist. And Shannon, let's talk for a moment about gear, because I'm sure that some people have been listening to you and I and they'll be like, so if Shannon is on the road for so long, what kind of gear she has? And I know that you have a post where you talk about the public address system that fits into your backpack. So can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I play keyboard, so I have to lug a big, huge 88 key weighted key keyboard along with me, which is not, you know, super portable, but it gets the job done. But yes, the first two summers that we did a full house concert tour, we toured with a PA that literally could fit in a backpack. And as far as the particulars of that system, it is it essentially consists of one little, I think it's a 10-inch speaker. It was the brand that we have used is a Mackie SRM-150. That's the name of the actual speaker. Mm-hmm. It's tiny. It looks like the size of a toaster oven or smaller, really. Like, it's tiny, but really I'm here to tell you it's powerful. We've powered some quite large shows with this tiny little speaker and it sounds great. So there's that. And then in addition to that, we added a little, the smallest little 4-channel mixer that you can get. And you don't actually need that. You could plug directly into the Mackie speaker itself. It has 2-channel inputs. So mm-hmm. you could put just a vocal and a guitar or a keyboard or something directly into the Mackie if you wanted to. There's, you know, very rudimentary EQ control and that kind of thing, but it's doable, right? Mm-hmm. We added the little 4-channel mixer because it gave us a little bit more flexibility with the EQ structure, which is helpful depending on what kind of room you're in. It changes every night. And also it had an aux output, so we could add a reverb. And the way that we achieved reverb using this little system is we use this tiny little, it's a guitar pedal called the Holy Grail. And it's a little guitar reverb pedal. And we just put that on one of the aux channels and sent it back into the keyboard and onto the keyboard and vocal channels. And then all of a sudden we have this, you know, beautiful, dreamy, you know, reverb channel on the system. And it's tiny, and that's it. I mean, that is it. The little tiny mixer, the little speaker, the little reverb pedal. You can fit all that in a backpack, no problem. And so, yes, there's a page on my website that describes all of that. There's pictures. My husband, Jamie, who is a record producer and who comes on the road with me during our tours and is in charge of the sound when we're on the road, he's written a whole page on my website about if you don't know the first thing about how to set up a little PA, he's gone through every step and said and told you exactly how to do it from step one to done. So check that out if you feel scared. If you feel scared and you still have questions, you can always ask him questions personally on our community forum as well too. He's always happy to engage and help people who are looking for help to get that done.
Oh, that's awesome. Hi, Jamie. And by the way, I will link to this post you mentioned, the forum, everything in the show notes. So guys, in case you are not in front of your computer at the moment, Shannon has made a list of the equipment she has with her. You can find the link to the post there so that whenever you have a moment, you are sitting comfortably in a chair, you are in front of your computer, you can go to the show notes page, you can browse through the post and find there everything you need to find. And Shannon, we have been talking about how to build a community with house concerts, and somehow, what a coincidence that the title of your new album is Connection. So has to do with community. So to wrap up this awesome, awesome, awesome conversation, I'd like to ask you to tell us a couple of things about your new album.
Oh, sure. Thanks. And you know, the album is called Connections, and it was inspired by interactions that we've had with people at house concerts. I mean, they're directly related. The new album explores all the ways in which we are connected to one another. You know, we can have encounters with other people, but that doesn't mean that we've automatically made a connection with them. And so what we were discovering in these house concert settings is that we were making really wonderful connections with people. And it was over, you know, we were connecting over, you know, sharing stories with one another, sharing our own life stories with each other. People, you know, will come up to me at the end of a house concert and share with me, you know, some struggle that they're having or something that they're going through in their lives. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that, you know, I started to make me wonder, okay, what connects us to each other? And sometimes it is, right, you know, sharing the parts of our stories that are more difficult to share, or talking with one another about our most deeply held hopes and dreams. You know, the stuff that, you know, maybe is feels a little scary to talk about, but these are the things that give us the connections we need to survive in our lives and to thrive in our lives. And that's really kind of what the whole album explores.
Man, Shannon, thank you so much for telling us more about your new record, Connections. And guys, you can find the link to Connections, to Shannon's book, the forum. Just go to shannoncurtis.net. You find there everything. That's Shannon's hub. So you find everything there. Or go to the show notes page of this episode as well, and you find the links there to what we have been discussing, the link to the post and everything else. Shannon, I want to thank you so much for being here with us once again, for rocking another time here on the podcast, and for telling us more about how to build community with house concerts. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
And we are back. Shannon, thank you so much once again for being here on the podcast. For the second time, I really had a great time talking to you. And thank you for your great tips on how artists can build community through house concerts. And guys, you heard it during the interview. If you want to learn more on house concerts in terms of the planning, in terms of the merch table, go to the show notes page of this episode, thejazzspotlight.com/episode85, where you find the links to everything Shannon and I have covered, including the link to the first interview we did with Shannon, so that you get more tips on that. Okay, this is it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining Shannon and I, and I'll be back with you in the next episode, of course.